This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at LinkedIn.com/decide. That's LinkedIn.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Oh, it's going to drive you crazy, all right. It absolutely will drive you crazy. John Kincaid Show, CBS Sports Radio. I am coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Do you realize that they have amazing customer service waiting to help you out during these challenging times? They're prepared to help you if you need mortgage assistance. Contact their team 24/7 at rocketmortgage.com. From their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage, they're going to be with you every step of the way. By the way, we got golf coming back. Did you know that? I mean, golf's coming back. Golf's coming back. NASCAR's coming back. And then pro sports working their way back in. There is some bright stuff on the horizon here. I want you to join Michael Breed, by the way. He tees off on the top headlines in the world of golf. You can watch Course Record with Michael Breed tomorrow morning, 11 Eastern, 8 Pacific, on CBS Sports Network. Hope you're having a good morning this morning. We've been having some lively discussion this morning, and it all started with a tribute to one of my favorite college professors, Dr. Gordon Gray. And I was wondering if somebody out there in the audience, Dr. Gordon Gray from Temple University, one of my favorite professors I ever had. And before you got out of the School of Communications, at the time, it was the School of Communications and Theater. Now, I did not take any theater classes when I was there. I didn't have leg warmers, so I wasn't eligible. A little bit of a cheap shot, but I before you got out of the School of Communications, so you're studying media, you had a senior level course, I guess at the time it was a 300 level course, with Dr. Gordon Gray. And Gordon Gray taught us that the idea was, he did this lecture the very first class of the semester, and then all semester long you worked on a project that ended up with a sort of like a thesis paper and then a presentation that you'd have to make in front of the class. And that was before you graduated. Most people took it in their first, in their last semester or their second to the last semester before graduation. I took it in my last. And thankfully, since I went in with some college credits and everything, my last semester was pretty much a comic book compared to Dr. Gordon Gray's class, which was pretty intense. But he would start out with the same speech every semester. And people knew the speech, and you heard about the speech. But people would come back from other years to sit in the classroom to listen to him give it again. Where he would talk about, if you're a media member, that, and if you're in charge of it, and you're bringing a story, your job is to bring the people who are consuming your story, whether they're reading it, whether they're watching it, whether they're listening to it. Your job is to bring them as a reporter to that main street. Tell them what Main Street smells like. Tell them what it feels like. Tell them what the mood of the people's like. Tell them what's going on there on the front lines. But he would then go on to tell you, the important thing is, though, to remember, is who are your consumers? Because if you're in the local media, you're working, when I was growing up in Philly, it was Action News on Channel 6 with Jim Gardner. And I swear to you, when I go home to Philly, if I haven't heard the Action News theme, which is absolutely iconic and awesome, if I haven't heard the Action News theme, I'm not home in Philly. I'm not home. If I don't hear, you know, Jim Gardner, I'm not home. And but if they're delivering that story, they're delivering a story on what's going on in Philly. That's the Main Street. And their consumers are in Philly on that Main Street. That's who their audience is. But if you're in the national media, whether it's sports or local, your job is to deliver the story, but you're to realize that everybody who's consuming the story lives on a different main street. And this, honestly, right now, this entire story of the pandemic has totally, totally changed how people go about their business as far as understanding that the main street is different in Dallas, different in Philly, different in New York, different in Chicago, different in L.A. as far as this pandemic's going on. And we got into that discussion a little bit and how there are people who are like, oh, my gosh, I can't even believe the NFL schedule is going to be released this week. I've read two national media members who say, why is the NFL releasing their schedule this week? Why would they do that in these uncertain times? Why wouldn't they? Why wouldn't they? On May the 3rd, they're supposed to say, ah, oh, throw up our hands. We cannot possibly be ready for September the 12th. No, throw up our hands. Can't do it. Can't do it. Nope. It's ridiculous. It's April. It's May the 3rd. For God's sakes. There's no reason to not release the schedule. And by the way, we talked about it last week. They have contingency schedules in place. Best guess being the season starting later, if there's a contingency schedule. Season starts later. They remove the games between the AFC and the NFC conference teams, the crisscross games. Those four games are removed, and you play a 12-game conference schedule. And then you get a little bit of a different feel for the Super Bowl. It's not that hard. But the return of sports, it's even Pro Football Talk, which has tended to peddle in gloom and doom. If there has been a doom and gloom scenario, the only thing I haven't read on ProFootballTalk.com is worries that NFL players are going to get COVID from handling sweaty footballs. I'm sure that story may come tomorrow, but it won't surprise me when it does. But now, even Pro Football Talk yesterday says the ongoing pandemic has created plenty of confusion. But per sources with direct knowledge of both the NFL's deliberations and the current and expected medical and scientific developments, there is an extremely small chance that there will be no NFL season in 2020. An extremely small chance. It's also expected that there will be enough testing for the general public to justify testing players, coaches, trainers before they enter a team facility. And as to stadiums, it is also believed that they will be open to fans, with a strong preference for open stadiums from week one. That's pretty good. Mike Florio published that piece yesterday afternoon. You may have missed it on a Saturday afternoon. There's a very small chance that there won't be NFL football. Isn't that marvelous? Isn't that marvelous? We'll talk to Barrett Salih from CBS Sports HQ coming up around 20 minutes past the hour. And Barrett's of the belief that college football may have to go a little bit of a different route. But there will be college football. But we talked about it a little bit earlier on in the show today. There could be parts of the country. And if you're a talk show host, if you're a writer, if you're a TV analyst, whatever it is, stop using the word scared. It pisses me off, honestly. As a guy who believes that there has to be some sort of journalistic integrity when you're talking about these stories, even on a talk show, and we tend to talk about really nonsensical stuff here on the John Kincaid Show, the idea that you don't handle a story respectfully is crazy to me. And yes, it is disrespectful to say, well, if Boston College and Syracuse are scared to play, then the rest of the ACC has to go on without them. Look, I'll say it right here. If Boston College and Syracuse don't want to play, they don't want to risk playing football, they are concerned, not scared, don't skew arguments. They are concerned about the effects of COVID and a second wave coming in the fall, so they don't want to play football. So be it. Don't mock it. Don't spin the story and say, well, they're afraid. They're not necessarily afraid. They may be concerned. And they may be concerned for what they consider to be valid reasons. And guess what? The valid reasons in New York are different than the valid reasons in Florida and Georgia and Texas and parts of the Pac-12 and parts of the Big 12. There are different valid concerns everywhere. 10 days ago, I was being told, and I had my 16-year-old daughter and her friends saying, Mr. Kincaid, did you see what CNN said? They said there are going to be bodies in the streets in Atlanta because the governor's opening up the state. There's going to be bodies in the streets. They're finding, like, the guests to come on to say, oh, Armageddon's coming. So it's, here, bodies in the streets. You got kids going, Dad, is there going to be bodies in the streets? Well, I'm here to report that 10 days into the reopening, when everybody was losing their minds on the national news, we're not seeing the bodies in the streets, and we're doing very well down here, just so you know. They haven't called me to guest, but just so you know, they're doing very well. And our healthcare professionals are awesome, and they're doing fine work. Now, there was that one incident. Anthony, there was the one incident when they reopened the state. These guys pulled up in a car, and they tried to take me at gunpoint to go bowling. They said, you're going bowling. The bowling alleys are open. I said, I'm not going bowling. And they said, get him in the car. Throw him in here. And then they tried to take me to a nail salon. I said, no, please don't.
I thought they were going to try to take you to go get your hair cut because it's all out of control.
My hair is out of control. Seriously. What was Doc's name on Back to the Future?
Doc Brown?
Doc Brown. First of all, it's getting height. It's getting height.
You have an appointment tomorrow, you said, right?
I have an appointment tomorrow, yes. So hopefully I will be here to do the show next Sunday. I said we will take all proper precautions. Yes, I will be seeing Shelby tomorrow to cut my hair.
So wait, when was the last time you got a haircut? How long has it been?
5 weeks.
Is that the longest it's been, like, in years that you've gone this long?
I don't go 5 weeks. I don't usually go 5 weeks without a haircut, no. And my hair grows fast. God bless it. When you're a virile man like me, Anthony, your hair is going to grow, dude.
That's the one thing you do have going for you, at least, still.
Beautiful hair. Spectacular. I mean, just, and look, stunning good looks, too. I mean, let's be honest. Let's not sugarcoat these stories. This is my main street, Anthony. This is my main street. We'll find how Barrett Salee's doing. Barrett lives like 7-8 miles from me, so he may be in a war zone. I'm not sure. But Barrett Salee believes college football may be facing a different reality than the NFL. From CBS Sports HQ, we'll talk to Barrett next. Thanks for joining us. It's the John Kincaid Show. We try to be a beacon of light, humor, fun, sports, and everything else here on CBS Sports Radio.
This is the John Kincaid Show.
And I promise you, Jim Rome doesn't put up with that kind of crap. Those rejoins. He didn't put up with that. Romy, rack him. I bet you Romy loved Three's Company, Chrissy, Racker. She was hot. Didn't you like Janet, too? She's hot, too. Just some upbeat TV theme songs today, trying to have a little fun. I want to make sure that you know our toll-free line, 855-212-4CBS, sponsored by Geico. Geico's introduced the Geico Give Back. It's a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers that last for your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for information and eligibility. Wait a minute. We can save money during a pandemic? Sign me up. Glad to be joined. Talk about Three's Company, because it's just me and Anthony, social distancing 900 miles apart. Glad that Barrett Salee from CBS Sports HQ and more joins us here on the John Kincaid Show so we can have a little social distancing with him. Now, Barrett and I live like 8 miles apart. I would figure something roughly like that, maybe 10 in Atlanta. I'd say that is there another in your area, things doing well, social distancing, Barrett, because I haven't seen you in person.
Yeah, I mean, JK, it is. It's pretty easy to live around Atlanta at this point. We're back open, and we're still sort of being smart about things.
But, sure.
At this point, we kind of know who's been distancing, who hasn't, who to hang out with, where to go. For lack of a better term, and I use this some very loosely in my case. We are responsible adults down here.
Now, nobody has tried to take you against your will to a tattoo parlor or anything like that, right? Now, I had a scary incident the other day. I had some guys try to take me at gunpoint to a bowling alley. And I just said, look, I'm not going. I said, I'm not going. And I fought them off. had mace on my keychain. It was my wife's keychain. And I was able to fight them off. So I said, it's good. It says, we've been talking.
You can't do that barehanded. You need some help to fight somebody off.
Exactly. We've been talking about today the idea that one of my college professors back in the day would say, when you're telling a story, and we're talking about the story of the pandemic as it affects sports, that there's a main street where you're reporting from. But you got to remember that your consumers are on main streets that are very different all over the country. And this story of college football, I know you have a unique opinion on how you believe, you know, and with good reason, the college football season may look a little different this year. And I wanted you to be able to talk about it a little bit.
Yeah, it may. Unlike, you know, professional sports, it is much different to get college football going because, you know, you have to have students on campus. That decision is being made based on 50 different infection levels. And
sure.
So because of that, and those decisions are being made by people who really have nothing to do with sports at all. So you need to have all of that first. And I think it'll happen the way things are going. You know, I would imagine students are going to be allowed on campus in the fall. I do think, though, that one problem is you can't really start a buildup, a conditioning period, until all 50 states are on board, because, you know, New York is obviously the hardest hit. You know, we're opening things up here in Georgia. Why should Georgia get an advantage over Syracuse? Because Syracuse is in a state that's being held up in terms of opening back up. So, you know, I do wonder how they're going to sort of, operate that in terms of fairness.
Could you see the ACC? I used that as an example earlier. Could you see the ACC, if college football season, let's say it gets to like mid-June, and you've got all the member institutions except Syracuse and Boston College that say, we're going to have students on campus, we want to get going, and we want college football. Could you see the ACC going forward with the season without a couple of its member institutions being on board?
No, because from a financial standpoint, you'd open up a whole different can of worms in terms of what that means. Both in the short term with TV partners, and then long term with what the finances and the revenue that, you know, those schools won't generate, and how that relates to their athletic departments moving forward. So no, and I know SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey actually was asked this on Friday about, you know, would they go it alone or with other conferences, and he basically gave a non answer, but said that it's, you know, everything's on the table, which sort of got, I think, construed as, oh yeah, they're thinking about it. Of course they're thinking about everything. Everybody's thinking about everything at this point, right?
Sure.
I know it's an option out there. At this point, I don't see how, from a logistical standpoint, that could work, knowing that in that hypothetical that you just said, you know, Boston College and Syracuse would have a say in that. And I can't imagine how, you know, they would feel if the other – you know, members of the ACC come
like
up
Clemson,
say, hey,
North Carolina, and
yeah,
all them. Yes,
like y'all stay over there. Don't worry about it. We're going to sit here and play football.
Is that now? When you talk about, though, is it fair? Would it be fair if you had 10 member institutions that wanted to go and you had two that didn't? Isn't fairness? Wouldn't fairness be okay? You guys are being cautious. You guys want to be cautious. What you consider to be smart about this. But why would that be fair to the other member institutions that live in a much different Main Street? They live in a much different thing. You know what I mean?
As is the case for pretty much everything, fairness
right.
goes both ways. And,
sure.
And certainly that would be part of it. But I think in that, how would the ACC look if its member institutions, for lack of a better term, were kicking and screaming, waiting to get going in the middle of a pandemic or at the tail end of a pandemic? I just, from an optical standpoint, I don't know how that would fly. In fact, I don't even know if it would be considered for that specific reason. So no doubt, you know, fairness goes both ways. And in that instance, the rest of the ACC, the other institutions would, have to wait around when they don't need to for other states to make their decisions. And again,
now,
those decisions would be made by people who have nothing to do with athletics.
Now, your best guess yesterday, and we were talking about this a little bit, and I saw you discussing it on Twitter with some of your Twitter followers, at Barrett Salee, you got to follow him. He's good, and he interacts a lot. The idea of maybe college football starting later, you thought that could be potentially the most logical outcome to this?
Yeah, I think so, because, you know, some states are going to have decisions made now about having students on campus. But again, you have to wait until all 50 states make that decision before you even start a conditioning period for basic fairness purposes for the game, you know, for the game being fair and the sanctity of it. So, you know, I think based on the way things are going now, you know, places in states that aren't hard hit are going to make that decision. They're going to be chomping at the bit to get going, but other places are going to take a little while. So, you know, we've heard coaches say 6 to 8 weeks of, you know, conditioning and then a fall camp, because let's be honest, you need a pretty significant strength and conditioning period. You know, kids are getting football shape by riding Pelotons and doing beach body workouts. That's just not football shape. So you got to have that. You got to have a break a little bit. You got to have fall camp, and then you got to get going. So because of that, I feel like, okay, maybe you start a strength and conditioning period in early August, but that's not going to be enough time to get you to early September to get started. So I think early October, 1st of October, somewhere around there is kind of more likely. But this idea that it would be a condensed season, there's no way. If they're playing, they're playing all 12 regular season games and a championship weekend and the bowl season and the college football playoff as is. If they get started, all of that stuff's going to remain the same. I just do think it's going to be delayed a little bit.
What a bright idea you had, too, which, you know, we kicked it around a few weeks ago, some of the different ideas that are out there. I love the idea of the college football national championship game being played the weekend between the Super Bowl and the end of the championship games, that weekend off.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's always made the most sense anyway.
Yeah.
As being prime real estate.
No doubt. And I think another one would be, what about the Saturday of Super Bowl Sunday? What about the day before the Super Bowl?
That would be awesome, too. Now, I don't know that the NFL would want that, like, and because of the fact that it would preempt their the coverage that their awards.
Yeah, but nothing goes on Saturday of the Super Bowl, really. They have
that awards dinner.
They
can do that Friday.
You know, that's a huge deal. Yeah.
The only thing is, if they did it Friday, they'd have to redo the Maxim party. So,
which I know you're a big fan of.
Yes, it really is. Yeah, nothing like being the older guy at the Maxim party. It's always a fun thing, though. You sound optimistic.
Not creepy at all.
You sound optimistic, though. And you've had I know you share it a lot with your followers and your readers. You have also had your own challenges this year that aren't anything to do with the pandemic. And I think that you help a lot of people out by sharing that story, too, if you want to share a little bit of it here.
Oh, yeah, I appreciate it. I have a very mild form of epilepsy. I had 2 seizures on March 5th, one of which was actually on a ski lift, which is absolutely terrifying. Epilepsy awareness, give some money to your local epilepsy foundation or the national version of it as well. But a lot of people have it. 1 in 10 people will have a seizure in their life. You know, if you have 2, you're diagnosed with epilepsy, even if they can't even figure out why you have it via an EEG. So, it's been an interesting time. And, you know, here in Georgia, there's a 6-month no driving law and about 2 months into that. So a third of the way through. But here's the thing. I was planning on quarantining anyway because I can't drive.
Exactly,
So this is really not that strange to me. This is sort of what I expected.
And I knew that you would be Ubering it over to the office here so you could go see your beloved Braves, and I would find you with a craft beer in your hand.
That's right. Well, you know
and you wouldn't have to drive.
That's right. Well, do you know how lame it is to Uber to the dentist and Uber to Men's League Beer League softball? It doesn't make you feel too good about yourself.
Yeah, it does. You're doing well. Hey, good job, Barrett. Thank you, buddy. I appreciate your time this morning.
See you, JK.
All right. Everybody check out Barrett Salee on Twitter. He is a fantastic follow, and he interacts with a lot of people every day. So always good, and it's good to be able to get that out. One of the good guys out there. All right. We've discussed a lot of things today about your Main Street, my Main Street, how you've been handling this pandemic story differently. The next stop is sporting events. And I don't know how open to the reopening you are. And NASCAR's reopening, golf's reopening. You know, now we told you earlier, the NFL expects to have fans in the crowd, you know, fans in the stands. I don't know how open to you are. If you want to share your thought, you can at 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4CBS. For CBS. I'd love to hear from you. We're having some fun this morning. It's the John Kincaid Show. This is CBS Sports Radio.
This is the John Kincaid Show.
Finally got a piece of the pie. Hopefully your Sunday is going upbeat and great. By the way, it's Mother's Day next Sunday. Don't forget. Don't forget. It's Mother's Day. We'll have fun. Oh, we got to get Betty on next Sunday, Anthony. Betty making her next appearance at almost 91. My mom's crawling the walls right now.
So she will definitely join us next week?
Oh, yeah, she's
ready
joining
to go.
Us.
Okay.
She better have her butt out of bed. What else does she have to do at almost 91 years old in a quarantine? I'll tell you this, the woman's inspirational to me because she's really being driven crazy by the isolation because my mom's a very social person. But, man, she's going to elbow the first person in the throat that bothers her once she gets out of quarantine. My mom, she doesn't. People are shopping for her, you know, like getting stuff for her and everything like that. And it's like, you know, he bought the wrong kind of rice.
She wants to do it herself.
Yes. And my mom, now she'll go with my brother or my sister to the store. But my mom at 91 years old is in the store, almost 91. She's in the store. She can walk around, and as long as she has the cart and she's very stable, she's fine. She's walking around. She likes it. She likes being able to shop. But they're not letting her at 91. You know, they're figuring that, Betty, you better stay home. I'm figuring there's enough still leftover vodka in her system that's probably fighting off anything that COVID can throw at her. Not to be disrespectful. But, man, the woman's got staying power. She's tough as nails, man. By the way, I'm not that excited, Anthony, about watching the I'm going to watch it and I'm going to like it. But the breathless anticipation of the next chapter of
The Last Dance?
The Last Dance. It's very good. It's very good. I'm not crapping on it or anything. It's very good. But the people with the breathless anticipation of the next episode. Oh, my gosh.
I've not watched them live. It's all on the DVR.
Okay, that's fine.
Once again, tonight I will have other TV plans.
What do they include? Men in Speedos climbing on each other all greased
no,
up?
No, tonight is the season 5 premiere of the Showtime hit Billions.
Billions. Okay, that's not bad. I only got 2 episodes left of How to Get Away with Murder, and I'm still in mourning. That show's going, getting done. If you want to get in with us, you can at 855-212-4CBS. But there is one gripe that I've got. And, Anthony, you know I'm not the type to gripe.
No, not you.
Not me.
Not John
Kincaid. Or to call something out. I noticed that something happens at the top of the next hour when the Pope of sports radio, Mike Francesa, starts his show. I noticed that he has a custom jingle. How come the John Kincaid Show doesn't have a custom jingle? I mean, we've been on this network since the beginning. I'm trying to think of who's left.
Don't do this to me. Don't
you go? Who's left?
You going diva now?
Who's left from an original show on this network? Romy, right?
Romy, yes.
Tiki and Tierney have had they had Dana for a while.
Yeah,
Dana was there with them.
Yeah, she was in the morning.
Amy Lawrence. Amy Lawrence is here since the beginning.
Yeah, but she didn't start off hosting a show.
Okay. So I think if Mike Francesa gets a jingle at the top of the hour at 9 o'clock Eastern time here on the network, shouldn't I get a jingle? What if you didn't even have to go to the problem of redoing? You don't have to redo the music. Just use Mike's jingle and put words in about me. Can you do that by next week? Can we have our own jingle on the show next week?
I don't know if I could find an instrumental version of the jingle.
He's covered sports just as fast as he can. It's Mike Francesa on the Fan. Come on, John Kincaid on CBS Sports Radio, because it is CBS Sports Radio. I want my own jingle. I'm just telling you. I'm putting my foot down now. We found it out, too, and you can join us at 855-212-4CBS if you wish. The idea is now we got to get down to the business. And we talked about it with Barrett Salee there about the world of college football. How open are you to reopening? And I think it's a jerk move when people say, well, if you're too scared to open, there's a difference. There's a difference between being scared and being cautious. I don't respect scared. I respect cautious. And a lot of people just want to depict anybody who doesn't want to go out as scared. Well, there's a difference. Cautious is another way to put it. Now, some of those people are scared, but I believe the vast majority of them are just trying to be cautious. They're trying to make a decision based on themselves. But I wonder, too, about you out there in the listening audience, how open you are to reopening. How open are you to the idea of going out to a restaurant? Like our family right now, and we've done some takeout from restaurants and things like that during the pandemic. My girls do not want to eat in a restaurant. Not yet. They would like to give it a couple weeks. So that's fine. I'm like, I said, that's cool. That's how they are choosing to be cautious. Now, me, I would go eat in a restaurant today. They've set up the proper social distancing guidelines where I live, so I'd go there today. Now, you read the report, Pro Football Talk with the report, that the NFL not only expects to start on time, they're doing it with the full expectation that they're going to be fans in the stands. And by the way, that report coming from Mike Florio at Pro Football Talk, honestly, if there's ever been a gloom and doom reporter on this entire pandemic, it's Mike Florio. They actually put like a sickle and hammer up there. I mean, it was like you expected to see the Grim Reaper coming from behind in a black shroud, bringing you the next story. Mike's been very, very bad news oriented on covering this story. He's decided to cover the story from the ultra cautious angle. Again, I say cautious, not scared. But how open is everybody to reopening? Are you going to be the first one in a restaurant? My girls will not. I would, but my girls won't. So we'll just probably be eating at home. I'm cooking tonight on the grill, by the way. So I said that's what we will be doing tonight. But the idea that every sports community is going to handle this story the same way is very troubling to me. That people think that there's a one size fits all aspect to this story. That New York should act the same way as North Carolina. North Carolina should act the same way as Texas. Texas should act the same way as Oklahoma. And Oklahoma should act the same way as Georgia. No, that's not how the story's been or been covered. And I love this idea and some of these different ideas of how the sports leagues will want to re-enter. The bubble routine, which we talked about a little bit earlier on the show, was interesting to me. But I can tell you, I would be extremely anxious. Let's say I was LeBron James, and I have a far better hairline, not bank account. But I'm LeBron James, so you're going to tell me the NBA is going to restart in Vegas. They're going to have the Mandalay Bay, the Delano, and the Luxor. All those three connected hotels that connect to that convention center. The NBA could play all their games in the convention center. They can fit 14 NBA courts in there. So they have more than enough to be able to facilitate games. But if you told me, John, you're going to walk into the Mandalay Bay, and by the way, I do it every year when we do our show out from Vegas. Mandalay Bay hosts me to do my show every year. There are a hell of a lot worse places to be if you're going to be quarantined. But if you made me walk into the Mandalay Bay and say, okay, I'm LeBron James. I've got a beautiful suite. I'm sure they've got me set up in a beautiful suite. So I'm set up there. But because I'm on the Lakers, I may not be leaving for 2 months. I could be there for 9 weeks on that complex, not leaving. Check in. It's sort of like Hotel California. You can check in, but you can't check out. You can never leave. You got to stay. I would be freaked out. I couldn't do it. I couldn't. You couldn't say to me, even a place that I love like the Bellagio, okay, we're going to put you in the Bellagio and you are not allowed to leave the complex for 8 weeks. I'd lose my mind. And these guys are supposed to be able to concentrate on professional sports and be able to come up with some way that, yeah, I feel good about this. Notice who's been very quiet, though. Major League Baseball. think baseball, what they're finding is now the expectations are strong. And when you've got Bob Nightingale and others, some of the best writers in the game that cover the sport, being confident that you will have baseball restarting in late June or by the 4th of July at the latest. I think July 2nd was what Bob Nightingale wrote in his piece at USA Today. July 2nd being the latest date that baseball would be back. Do you understand what we could be sitting in this summer? Where we're usually counting down the days to NFL teams being in training camp. We can have the NBA having a playoff tournament inside a Vegas casino bubble. We could have the NHL returning under some way, shape, or form in a matter of a few arenas. We could have baseball starting their season in July, buttressing right into the NFL and college football season. We already know the golf season getting pushed back. So in the fall, we're already going to have, if football, college, and pro advance as expected, we're going to have some great, like a Masters in November. That's awesome. But imagine if in the month of August, you were talking about an NBA conference finals and finals, a Stanley Cup finals, baseball in just its second month. Nobody would be tired or ground out of baseball by that point. I think what we're going to end up finding out is that the NBA is going to realize it. And Mark Cuban told us on the Shaq podcast a few weeks ago, his belief has always been the NBA should start in December. And if the NBA was to have a later season this year, where it crowned a champion in August, they're not starting till December. And that could be bad news for Major League Baseball in the worst way possible. That would be awful for baseball. I mean, absolutely awful. Just terrible. You could be in a position right there where you are. If baseball finds itself competing every single day, baseball had to compete with the NBA playoffs or something like that. I'm here to tell you right now, even if if Major League Baseball had to compete in a way, let's say they had to compete with, I don't know, just the NBA alone. Let's just say it's the NBA alone. I'm going to tell you right now, the NBA is going to win. The NBA is going to win. And that's not good for baseball. Baseball's already hemorrhaged its fan base growing. It's dangerous. It's dangerous. Baseball could find itself in a position that it never goes back to. It never goes back to the dominance it once had. Not that that dominance exists right now, but it wouldn't be there. All right, let's get to my closing arguments, please. There are things that should not astound me in 2020 in America. They shouldn't astound me, but they do. It's why my wife tells me you continue to be so naive. But I don't know that I consider it naive. It's just I want to think we're better than it. But one thing I've come to know during this pandemic story, whether it's the sports crowd, the news crowd, or otherwise, is there's the one solution crowd. You know the guy. Just go to his Twitter feed. You can find it. Every single thing is not open to debate or analysis. There's one solution. So there are people who believe that the entire country and the entire sports world should be open right now. I don't. There's people who believe we shouldn't even be discussing sports coming back and that sports and that states shouldn't be reopened. I don't believe that either. There are those of us, and I believe there's many of us, that fall somewhere in the middle. Barrett Salee had a great analysis of it in regards to sports when he joined us earlier on in the show. There's not a one-size-fits-all approach here, whether it's by conference, whether it's by fan base, whether it's by state or otherwise. There has to be some flexibility here. And by the way, as we've seen, whether it is the folks at the CDC, whether it's the folks in the national news media or otherwise, nobody's going to get it exactly right. And no one should be held to that standard. because I sure know that I don't want to be held to that standard because I get stuff wrong all the time. Let's just hope that we get back to a sense where we can be able to make decisions smartly, intelligently, and get back to some sort of semblance of our normal sports lives. And it appears we're trending that way very positively. Again, for those of you on the front lines, for those of you in law enforcement, for those of you in the medical fields, for those of you working 18-hour days, I know some doctors here in Atlanta that, personally, six days a week, 18-hour days. God bless you all. You guys are awesome. Doctors and nurses and med techs. You people rock. Seriously, you are spectacular. I hope we bring you a little bit of normalcy in your day. As normal as this show ever gets. At Tony Piano on Twitter, my producer, Anthony Piano, he brings me normalcy. He does a damn good job. And I want my jingle by next week, Anthony. No excuses. I'll play diva. Have a great week, everybody. Stay safe and be ready for it. John Kincaid Show next Sunday on Mother's Day here on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.